Strap on your tool belts and grab a cup of coffee. It's time for My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa. Hi, guys. I'm so glad you're joining us today for My Fix It Up Life. You have noticed that my co-host and husband, Mark, is not here. He's scampering about the United States looking at some new tools because June in the tool world is Let's Show You Our New Tools Month. So he's going out to all the different brands, all the different colors, and he's going to be bringing that information back to us. But in the meantime, we're talking about Alzheimer's today, and we're going to be able to help you with some tips, some tricks, some things that you can do at home to extend the life of your loved one in your home longer, make them more comfortable, happy, safe. And then when they move on to a memory care facility, what can we do to make them feel more at home? So we're talking to Mitzi Beach. She is a CAPS certified aging in place specialist, and she is sort of the expert in the interior design community for baby boomers. We're also talking with Mary Lucy Lopez, who is an expert in caregivers for Alzheimer's. Lots of really cool tips she'll be sharing. And also Lisa Brookholder, who works for the Alzheimer's Association. So go on Twitter right now, hashtag #EndAlz to share what you know and your story. And we'll be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life and my co-host, Little Snort. And this is My Fix It Up Life, and we are talking about Alzheimer's today. And as you know, it's a really personal thing for me because my dad has Alzheimer's, and he now is living in this memory care facility. And I go there and I visit him, and there's all kinds of different things that are there that sort of confuse me about, you know, why are there different objects there and why are they designed this way? And I've been looking around and I don't find anything on the internet. And as a design community, I've been talking to a lot of designers and there just really isn't a lot of information out there. So today we're talking with a bunch of experts to try to start unraveling the mystery and trying to give us some tips and some guidelines to be able to better care for our loved ones who are suffering from Alzheimer's. And I have a guest, Mary Lucy Lopez, who's joining us, and she is an expert in helping caregivers who are helping their family members who have Alzheimer's. And from a caregiver's perspective, oh my goodness, it's just such a huge thing to have to deal with because you're watching someone that you love who isn't exactly who they are anymore.
Right.
So, Mary Lucy, so when you are dealing with caregivers, do you can you kind of walk us through any kinds of tips that, you know, as a caregiver to be able to make the environment better for the Alzheimer's patient?
Yeah, I think it's, I'm happy you said make the environment better because really that's one of the best things someone can do for someone with dementia. As you know, there's no cure for, well, there's many types of dementia, but if we're talking about something like Alzheimer's, which is a form of it or the most common one, there's no cure. So really the best thing you can do is kind of work with the environment around to try to address some of the needs that someone with Alzheimer's would have. So when talking about design or just elements in the environment, you're going to look at things that are particularly soothing and calming to the individual. So as a caregiver, or most of the things I do with caregivers has a lot to do with kind of exploring that person's history, their likes, dislikes, what's personal to them, what attaches meaning or what they have meaning to. So I guess I'll ask you, you know, you just mentioned a little bit about your personal take with dad in a memory care unit. What are some things that you've seen or like that you've maybe just thought were unusual, you know, anything that stood out at you or?
Well, you know, the first time I went there, and my parents live at this community where they bought a condo and then they get help. So it's sort of like there's services there. It's like a college campus for older people, which is kind of a groovy thing because they have like a baseball field and they have outings and there's a wood shop and all kinds of cool stuff. So then my dad, he has Parkinson's and he has Alzheimer's. And so he moved into the nursing home building where they have a new memory care floor. And in the memory care floor, so it's a new thing for this community, there's a wedding dress that's like on display. There's an old typewriter. There's an old rotary phone. There is like a basket of laundry that's unfolded. There are cereal boxes on shelves. There's a shopping cart. There are baby dolls. And for me, I didn't have grandparents that aged to a place where they were in a nursing home.
Right.
And so this is all so new to me, seeing these older women holding baby dolls and pretending and thinking that they're real babies. And I'm not making fun of it at all, because if it makes them feel good, it's great.
Right.
But I'm also seeing that it's more skewed to female memories
mm-hmm.
than as opposed to male memories. You know
right.
what I mean? Because my dad wasn't one to change diapers or hold babies or do laundry or,
yeah.
like, cook and clean or wear a wedding dress or type yeah. or anything. So I go there and I'm like, why isn't there, like, a poker table or a billiard table or, like, some kind of thing for guys? I don't – so why?
So I think that what you just told me is something that, again, this is another thing I always tell caregivers. You have the most valuable information, especially about your dad, because you've known him better so than most people who are working at the facility. So this information that you just shared with me is something that is really helpful to everyone. So it's helpful to your dad, but it's also helpful to the people who work with him, because you inform them of what's comfortable for him, what's common, what's not. So I like that you brought up stuff. A lot of these things that I'm talking about too, that we're talking about facilities, can also be done in someone's home. So again, the spatial changes that can be done, things that are familiar and create memories. So it could be photos. And also, I guess I'm thinking more too of visual cues. So things that with dementia, also understanding the disease, is that oftentimes there's a gap or a disconnect between point A and point B. And so what you want to create in the environment are clues or kind of hints to help someone remember the steps between point A and point B. So diminishing a lot of clutter or distractions. Maybe you have a hallway that you can use where you can kind of work with some neutral palettes to not, like, excite the eye too much, but give little cues. So something subtle, like let's say you have a restroom at the end of the hall. You might want to start little cues, like maybe photos of a sink or paintings of, like, things that will elicit or kind of give a hint to where you're heading. So it minimizes that feeling of lost or I can't remember, or that feeling like it's on the tip of my tongue, which with Alzheimer's, it's not just a memory issue. There's a lot of impairments with other things, like spatial things. I guess I've heard of, or I'm thinking of, I've known of facilities who little things, just like painting a black square in front of an elevator door or something, will kind of prevent a lot of people from, because it looks like a black hole with the spatial deficits in the brain, after that part of the brain starts to become affected, person will just not go there, as opposed to, you know, it could reduce things like elopement. So even in someone's home, a lot of things I tell caregivers are disguising your environment. Let's say there's a door that you really don't want the person to keep going into. You can paint it or wallpaper or add trimming to match the wall, or you could also disguise it as a curtain, like set up a fake window there with the curtain that will really keep people from not going towards that door. So there's common behaviors. The reason I'm talking about this is wandering is really common, or just agitation. It's this feeling of something's off or not right. I need to leave, or I don't know where I want to go. So creating those things in the environment can kind of reduce those things or just look like familiar. Like seeing a curtain isn't really threatening. Whereas if you have a door that's like red and says exit, that kind of doesn't feel like it's home. So also
that is really such a good point, because I'm thinking about my dad, and before he went into the memory care place, he and my mom shared a, they had a two-bedroom place, so he had his own room, and his room had two doors to exit the room into the main area of their apartment, and I swear, when I would come and visit, it would be like a cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
He'd come out one door, he'd go back in, he'd come out the other door, he'd go back in, he'd come out the door, and he'd just keep going back and forth because he'd forget where he was going.
Yeah.
And my mom put signs up around saying bathroom, whatever, but he'd still just keep popping back and forth. And And that is such a really simple thing to do, is to paint something black or make it blend in. That could save someone who has Alzheimer's the frustration and the trouble. And then the frustration and trouble that you have as the caregiver of saying, this isn't the bathroom.
Right. It's over there, or it's this way. Because that becomes the problem. The person elsewhere is being able to, they might be able to read the word bathroom, but, you know, what we do with our brains, we see bathroom, we learned that word. We learned it. You know, it meant something. But when those synapses start happening in the brain where the connection to things is no longer there, someone can still probably read bathroom but not associate with what that means. So having a lot of other visual cues or just reminders of a thing that's been around, you know, like a toilet seat or a sink or something, that's really something that's kind of universal. So you want to have those things to trigger, perhaps that's what they're looking for.
That is so really helpful. And then also you were talking about calming things.
Yeah.
So here's a question that blows everyone's mind who's a family member who goes to this memory care place, that there's a room that has this like tentacle LED light thing in it.
Uh-huh.
And the nurse said, what we do in here is we lay it on the residents and brush them with it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about anybody else, but I can't imagine my father engaging in that kind of therapy unless he was severely medicated, because, I mean, thinking about the generation of people that are in there, who are in their 80s and 90s, basically, they were born in, like, the 20s and 30s, and it's not really, it's like they're guys, they're men, you know, they did dude things, and so I don't get it. Like, what?
Yeah.
So what is that?
You also just touched on generational. That's huge. You want to look at, too, and again, this goes back to, like, knowing the person's history. What was normal for them, or what was something that they always grew up with that was common? Like, I'm not sure why they would use an LED light. I really don't know. There might be other reasoning behind it that I don't have experience with, but I think, like you're mentioning, that might be something that kind of might scare someone. Like, what is this thing? I have never seen this.
Oh, yeah. It totally freaked my dad out because he's 81 years old. Yeah. He doesn't know what an LED light is, and it looks like it should be.
It could be scary.
Oh, we're almost out of time. But, yeah, it looks like it should be on some kind of disco or something, or something that my stepdaughter would enjoy as a teenager in her room, something groovy to hang out with her friends. But I do have to bounce, and Mary Lucy Lopez, it's been a delight. You have absolutely helped kind of guide me and put me on a path of more and greater knowledge about how to help my dad, and I hope that we're helping other people out there as well.
So
if you want to find out more about Mary Lucy, you can drop us an email at info@myfixituplife.com, and we will totally connect you, and we'll be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up Life. Take your inspiration into real life with Sherline Paint Products. From easy pour-and-store paint can lids to tools that help give you a perfect line. For more information, check out Sherline.com. So this is My Fix It Up Life, and I am so glad that you guys are joining us, because we're talking about Alzheimer's today, and I don't know if you guys know this, but it's the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S., and I did not know that until my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and it's such a really big deal, and that somebody is diagnosed with it, I think, every 67 seconds, which is completely blows my mind, and I kind of wonder, on one hand, is that because we're able to recognize it more these days, or are more people getting it? I don't know. So I have an expert here, Lisa Burkholder, who works with the Delaware Valley chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. And I hope that you can help me, guide me, and try to figure out some things that people are doing for my dad in the memory care facility. And then also we can share some things for people who have loved ones who are still living with them at home, to get them to stay home longer. So, Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
And I'm rocking my hashtag endalls shirt today, too, which is something, if you go on Twitter right now and you type in hashtag endalls or endalzheimers, you'll find all kinds of really good information. People are talking about it all month long in June, and I think it's just such an important thing because it affects so many people. So I'm going to start off the gates with a stumper.
Okay.
So I was just asking someone about this thing that they have at the memory care place for where my dad is, and it's this LED tentacle-like light contraption thing that the nurse says that you rub, like, lay it on the residents to try to do some kind of light therapy on them. And for me, it kind of blows my mind because the people that live there are, like, in their 80s and 90s, and this tentacle light thing is just something that I think would be completely foreign to them. So help me. What's the point of this thing?
Interesting. I actually have not heard of this tentacle light thing. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
So my mom and I have this theory. We have this groovy theory that since they just created this memory care floor, that maybe they had it left over from another project, and they're just, like, wanting to, like, use it somewhere, and they just sort of are telling everyone that story.
That's interesting. Recently at a conference, I heard from a dean of nursing at the nursing school at Drexel that red lights instead of the bright fluorescent lights can be helpful for getting people with dementia to sleep better because it doesn't have the same effect on melatonin that brighter lights have. So I don't know the type of light it is, if it's a red light.
Yeah, it's not red. It's all colors. It's all, like, it's colors that my tweener Alexis would like. Yeah, she's 14. So she and my 81-year-old dad are not really simpatico usually on color and design.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm curious. I bet it was left over from something else. Or they're doing some kind of experiment on all of the family members to see who's going to call them on it first. But they have a whole room devoted to it, too. It's just wacky. So talking about what people can do for their loved ones who are, you know, just diagnosed with Alzheimer's, or if you have a loved one and you go online, because I think there are these, like, quizzes and things that you can take, or you can look and find out, you know, what to look for if mm-hmm. your loved one is sort of exhibiting these signs, how can you sort of make your home environment better so that they can be more vibrant and stay home longer? Do you have some awesome tips to share with us?
Sure. So when I was thinking about this, I feel like the first step in, you know, setting up your home for someone with Alzheimer's disease is, you know, you have to understand the disease itself. So, you know, the background information is important. A lot of people, you know, only associate Alzheimer's disease with poor memory. But Alzheimer's affects the brain globally, so not just memory, but judgment, decision-making, vision is impaired, peripheral vision, depth perception, understanding color contrast, movement, you know, just walking around, moving, fine motor and gross motor movements are impaired or can be impaired as the disease progresses. So you kind of have to first put yourself in the mind of someone with dementia or Alzheimer's as best you can. You know, it's not possible to fully understand, but to understand kind of how they might see the world and how their environment can become pretty confusing as the disease progresses. So that would be my first
suggestion. You know, it would be pretty rad if scientists and technologists people could come up with some kind of, like, virtual thing that you could, like, play a game or something and sort of get into the environment of what, you know, like, put on the goggles of somebody who has this. Because I know for my dad, when he was still living with my mom before he was in the memory care, he would, you know, he liked to tie back the curtains every day in his bedroom. But he would then tie back the curtains on the one side and not understand that he was doing it, like, over here instead of over here. And he wouldn't know that his shirt, like, to tuck in his, he'd try to tuck in the shirt over his undershirt under in his pants without tucking in his undershirt.
Okay.
You know, stuff like that, which I didn't realize that was part of Alzheimer's, but it is understanding, like you were saying, the spatial things and not having things in the way. Like my dad's always been total OCD, and so when he started exhibiting these things, it was like exclamation pointed all over the place. Because I used to do this game with him when I had have friends over to the house when I was like a teenager. My dad would have like the salt and pepper shaker here, and then he would have, and like the you know, something else would be here, and it would be like on the same place on the counter. And I'd do this. I'd move something over here. I'd say, when my dad walks in, check how long it takes him to move it back. He'd say, hi, how are you doing? It's so nice to see you. And he'd move it just while he was, it was a swift motion. And one time he knew that the neighbor child that was feeding our cat drank some of our orange juice because he would line up all of the cartons in the same direction in the refrigerator, and it wasn't lined up perfectly. So, like, having those kinds of things and having Alzheimer's is pretty tricky.
Right, right. And, you know, personality can change, too. It sounds like your dad was always that way. You know, sometimes people are very laid back, and then as the disease progresses, they become, you know, a little more anxious or, you know, stressed out, or the opposite. Someone who is very type A or OCD, like you said, may, you know, their personality may change in the opposite direction, but they could also stay the same. So
I think it's gotten worse.
Okay.
I think he used to have a little bit of a filter of it, and now it's like it's all out. It's all just there. So, like, for someone like that, like, what are some things that you can do in their environment, either in at home or in a memory care place?
Right. So I think the first consideration should always be safety. You know, we want to enhance a person's quality of life and make sure they feel comfortable, but that would come after you assess, you know, the environment for safety. So, you know, simple things just like removing all throw rugs, you know, anything that the person can trip over, because, like I said, vision becomes impaired and it may be more difficult to see that there is a rug on top of a floor. It kind of like look like all one surface. And even things with rugs with patterns in them can become confusing. They might not see it as a pattern on the rug, but an actual, you know, for example, a flowered rug or carpet may look like, or seem to them like, an actual flower garden. Those objects kind of become muddled and may seem like they're more real. They're not seeing it as part of just the pattern of the fabric.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, when designing a facility, for instance, they try and use just like solid patterned carpeting and tablecloth so that the resident wouldn't become confused, you know, when they're eating lunch and there's a patterned tablecloth, they won't become confused and think there's, you know, food or flowers.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine if there was like elks and bunnies on the tablecloth? They would think that they're in the wilderness.
Right, it can become confusing, and that's not to say that that's how it is for everyone, you know, each person's different, but I think as in certain stages of the disease, that those sorts of things can be very confusing. So
now, I know that purple is the color for Alzheimer's Association, but is there a colors that are better for people who have Alzheimer's? Because we keep going back and forth on whether or not we're going to paint the walls in his, it's like a little dorm room that he has right now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that there is a, you know, specific color paint or anything like that. Again, I would say solid colors, trying to avoid busy patterns. You know, when you have Alzheimer's disease, it becomes difficult to filter out multiple stimuli from the environment, which all of us kind of take for granted when there's, you know, busy patterns, when there's a lot of noise happening in a room. You know, maybe even for us, that can become overwhelming just when there's a lot of action, a lot of stimuli going on in the environment.
Yeah.
But it becomes really hard to filter that out when you have a memory impairment or cognitive impairment. So just trying to keep the space as simple as possible, you know, making important areas easy to find, making the bathroom easy to find, maybe labeling it and keeping colors probably more subdued. Although it is good to, have some visual interest. So bright colors may be a good thing, just keeping patterns in rugs and quilts and things pretty simple.
Okay.
Would be my suggestion.
I imagine that we're running out of time, but I do have a question. I got my dad for Father's Day a smart TV and a webcam that goes with, I guess it's a TV cam that goes with it, because he, in his room, he has a corded phone, and he's confused about answering the phone. It gets jumbled up. He doesn't put it back on the thing. He doesn't know who's calling, and he's just, it's not really happy for him. He's never liked the phone anyway. So I was thinking if we could call him through Skype on his TV, then he could see everyone and their name would pop up, and it would be, he would be able to sort of see his grandchildren and, sort of like watch them do what they do in their lives. Mm-hmm. But have you experienced someone who's done that before, and how does that work? Do you have any advice for me in introducing it to him?
Yeah, I mean, since he's already in a memory unit, it sounds like, he is a bit more impaired. But I would suggest that that's done with some supervision. So if there's like a care provider in the facility who could kind of help him with that, because it sounds simple, kind of handling the technology that, the person's name picture pops up. But I imagine he would need some assistance in working that.
Yeah. We can call the nurse. So we can call the nurse, say, we're going to be calling him on his TV to make sure that, he's dressed in his room and stuff too, because I don't want his granddaughter having that experience in her life. We're calling him. Because we can make it automatically pop up when the TV's on. So we'd have to have the nurse be able to accept the call.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I think that's the, having someone there just to help him with the technological side, obviously. So it's definitely worth trying. And I think the, doing like the FaceTime on an iPhone can be a good idea too, if there's someone to help with navigating that technology. But, we always say being able to connect with family, look at old pictures, and visitors are great, but if it's hard to visit regularly, seeing loved ones has to be a positive experience during the day, as long as he doesn't become, overwhelmed with, again, the too much stimulation. So keeping the conversation simple, just being able to see his grandkids' faces, I'm sure would be a positive experience.
Yeah. I'm thinking that just seeing us, because we're almost out of time. Yeah, my dad's never been a chatty one with any of us. He just wants to make sure that we're well, we have enough money, and then do you want to talk to your mother? That's pretty much the phone call that I've had for the last, 20 years. So I think he's good to go with just seeing people's faces. But it's been an absolute delight talking to you, Lisa Burkholder, from the Delaware Valley Alzheimer's Association, and you can check them out on Twitter at ALZDELVAL. Did I get that right?
Yes, ALZDELVAL, correct.
Awesome. And you guys have a walk coming up. I see that on your lower thirds here, Walk to End Alzheimer's. Can people?
Have 6 walks. Awesome.
So go over there on Twitter and check them out and join them for their walk. There's the association all over the country, so go to the ALZ.org to find a local chapter near you. And we got a bounce. We'll be back with more of My Fix It Up Life.
So much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Sanding walls before you paint? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet-dry vac and go. Drywall dust on your furniture, no tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com.
So we're talking about Alzheimer's today, and you know that it's very personal for me because of my dad. And you know, I'm learning so many interesting things that I think that I'm going to take back with me when I go this weekend to visit him at the memory care facility and share with not only my family and my mom, but also the other folks that are there visiting their families as well. I think there's just so many really simple things that we can do to extend their happiness, not only at a memory care place, but also at home. And I am joined by Mitzi Beach, who I hear from the entire interior design community that Mitzi is the person to talk to if you have any kinds of questions about design and baby boomers. And Alzheimer's is something that baby boomers are facing, whether it's them or a loved one, a friend, a neighbor. So, yes. Mitzi, I am so glad you joined me to talk today.
Well, it's my honor. Thank you for asking me.
I think this is an under-talked about topic in the land of interior design, because I have been searching, you know, since my dad was diagnosed, and I just can't find a lot of resources, you know, with everything. Like, we talk about making sure your deck is safe for this time of year. You're having grad parties, you're having Father's Day this weekend, barbecues and stuff, 4th of July. There's a checklist. There's a checklist for, like, how to stage your home. There's a checklist for almost everything out there that you can get sort of the fast list on it. But there's nothing for this. I can't find it. So I kind of want to, through this conversation that we're having today, is start creating that, start creating a guide.
Good.
So, Mitzi, what has been your experience dealing with clients that have Alzheimer's?
Well, I don't have a lot of experience with that exactly. It's the preempting of what family members are seeing and how they want to prepare that environment. It's not as if they're already in a care facility. It's at the home stage, the beginning stages, where I think you're right. There is virtually nothing out there for anyone that wants to secure a better quality of life for those that they see things are changing. My mother-in-law has, she's not with us anymore, but dementia and Alzheimer's, you know, can go hand in hand for quite a while, and sometimes it's hard to distinguish between the two. Nevertheless, any mental incapability needs design help, period. And I think we overlook this. And I just want to start quickly with saying one of the easiest things to do, and we're after easy, how can we just get into this without making our homes a fort or, you know, a care facility, is that when we have little children, and I don't mean this disrespectfully at all, but when our children are babies and they start crawling, there is a whole mindset, isn't there, about how we secure the premise. We make sure they can't get out of the doorways, you know, out on the street. We know that we have to put up all medicine. We know that we can't leave any firearms, which is just general safety. Tripping, going, we don't let them go down basement steps. We make sure that basement door is inaccessible. So if we just start by looking at our spaces objectively from either the eye of a crawling baby and how to make that safer, I think we can open up our mindset, like I'm talking about, to introduce then higher levels of design adjustments.
I absolutely love that comparison, because when I go to visit my dad at the memory care place and I see the activities that they have designed and the people that work there, time and time again, I have a six-year-old. So time and time again, I'm saying to myself, why don't they have people that are like preschool or, you know, caring for babies and children going to work there? Because it's the same thing. You have to change their direction in a positive way. You don't want to say no to them too much, and you want to make sure they're careful, and you want to make sure that you're having an upbeat attitude, and you have to do all of those necessary things about, did you go to the bathroom? Here's your food. This is how you eat, you know, and encourage them to play together and share and respect other people.
Yeah, just like what I learned when I went to kindergarten.
Exactly. It's like the same kind of thing. And I love that you're saying that about the thinking about the baby, because we do. Oh my goodness, we spend so much time talking about trying to protect our children from the corners of every single thing in the house.
Right. Sharp coffee tables, for instance, you know, clutter, that, or anything that they can pick up and eat. We watch the temperature of their food, don't we? We
yes.
make sure that it's not too hot, that they're going to burn themselves. When we put a baby in the bathtub, we're very cognizant of the temperature of that bath water. So there are so many parallels that may perhaps can help those listening here ascertain, okay, this isn't so far out medical research. There's some basic things we can do, right?
Yes, and for, you know, like, because my dad has Alzheimer's and I'm in the middle, you know, I have kids and I have aging parents. And
oh,
so using the same techniques on the kids as you are with, you know, somebody who's having some kind of, you know, Alzheimer's or dementia or anything like that makes so much sense. You know, coming to them with, hey, it's so good to see you.
Wow.
You know, that same kind of attitude that you do with your kids.
Right. And like a sleeping baby, they like calm in, you know, putting them to bed. They like routine for children. You wouldn't have jarring noises going on with children. It scares them. And it's the same way with this individual. You want noise to be unobtrusive and have a calm environment. And talking about easier things in our home is color. One of the no-nos is a very serene, low-contrast color palette. We need wayfinding. We need, just like you said about the children, brighter colors, contrasting colors, so they know where they are. My mother-in-law had macular degeneration along with her dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have an aging-in-place home that we design. We call it Cypress. And you would not know it was, but it is. And we have a barrier-free bathroom in the bedroom and 3-0 doors and all of that. But the bathroom that is for the bedrooms for guests is barrier-free. And cognizant of her macular degeneration, very simple. I use blue and white, white walls, white tile, but the floor had a navy design in it, and the tile, it was the baseboard, and that was a dark blue. So this is the point in the contrast, high contrast of color for wayfinding, and you know where the wall and the floor stop. Also, it's very scary for someone in this situation to know where they're walking. So we want to avoid huge contrast of different floor. But on the other hand, if we don't want them to go somewhere in our home, we can paint it. You've heard this. Paint it black or dark because they think it's water. They don't know. So doing that in front of the doorway. So that's one of the things that can help at home. It's just color.
That is so interesting because, you know, we've been talking about painting in my dad's room at the memory care place because all the walls are white. Every room is white, and it's a new place. They just outfitted a floor of the nursing home for memory care in the last year. His favorite color is blue, and so I was thinking about, as part of Father's Day, is to come with, you know, I've got paint, and just throw some paint on the walls for him so that his room is a different color than everyone else's room,
and it will help him in finding it, which is what wayfinding is.
Yes,
I don't mean to be condescending, but it is these markers, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a map or a big picture or something. If we're looking, it's like being at the marquee at the mall, and we look and and it says, okay, you are here. That's what wayfinding does to these patients.
So I have a really weird question. I have a lot of weird questions. But what if, because, you know, going down the long hallway in this facility, and
which
they
is
have
difficult for the patients, yes.
And they have their names, but it's they're not out. They're flat. So it's on the walls along the way. And they have pictures on at each door that have like family members and their name and everything. But you can easily walk by it if you're not looking. Is it, what if I put something there that's like a motion sensor that would play a sound or a mute or something song when he got to that place? And so he would hear it, and then other residents would hear it too, and they would know that that's not their room. Because there's a guy at this facility who just moved in who takes things. He doesn't know he's taking things.
I know.
My mom found a pair of ladies' high heels in my dad's drawer, and she's like, what? Because this other gentleman took them out of someone else's room and put them in my dad's.
Well, you know, back to the color, what about painting the door the color that he could recognize was his room?
I don't know what the restrictions are there.
Right.
I know we can paint inside, but... Or maybe there's a way of putting something that's out too.
Right.
So
or
there's
a frame around it, you know, mm-hmm. a border around it in contrast, you know, like even your primary colors.
Okay.
Piece of furniture that is attached to the wall, a bench that doesn't protrude very far and is padded, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Often they will allow those types of things. I know what you're saying. It's very difficult. And with a facility, there are restrictions, and it's different than a home.
Yes.
That you can do things. Yes.
So in a home, you can do those things for, you know, the bedroom or whatever, because, you know, my mom struggled for a while, and this is, you know, all new to our family. We don't have experience with Alzheimer's before this. So
no.
She would label all the rooms, and my dad would be so confused about where he was, and he would go and just, I call it the where's my glass game. We played it over Thanksgiving, where's my glass, because every 5 seconds he would fill up glass of water, and he'd put it somewhere, and then he'd say, where's my glass, and he'd get another glass, he'd fill it up water, put it somewhere. And
yes.
So all day long it was that, just running water, filling up glasses, and wandering around, and it's tough to see that happen.
Oh,
but
it's heartbreaking.
Yes, but what you're saying, though, is, and what I'm trying to do is help other people that are like my family who are dealing with this, and so that it makes it so that you could stay longer in your home. And changing the contrast and demarcating things with color, I think, is something that makes so much sense to do.
Well, yes, and my experience is in the home, not in care facilities. That's a whole different level. But in the home, lighting is exceptionally important, and they need a lot of light, and it helps with anxiety and gives more sense of calm when they can see. It's the opposite of what we would think. We would think putting the lights down, but that is, there's a term called sundown.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't want to have that, you know, occurring because you think the lights are too jarring. It's the opposite. And also natural light, anything that you can do to have more windows, more atrium-like feeling, again, sense of calm. Routines are so important, and if they, you know, daytime, nighttime, all of that is, of course, a given. But I think we can do a lot more with tripping and how we can secure the home to be more safe. And there are tips of that I can run through quickly if you want, but I don't know how much time we have.
No, actually, I don't know how much time we have. Tara, how much time do we have? A minute.
Okay.
How about if we post them up on this radio show post on our website and link to you at MitziBeach.com? Do you have a list on your website?
I don't, but I am going to get one.
Well, I'm going to put one up too. I think this is such an important thing for us to talk about. And I want to ask you quickly about my little friend here.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of toddlers and babies, in the last minute we have, I got this little guy for my son because I thought it was the cutest thing in the whole world. It's called Toy Mail. And what it does is you have an app on your phone as a grown-up, and you can send messages to this guy, and he will then talk to your toddler. And so it's trying to get kids away from having so much screen time so they're not on iPads and stuff checking messages or on the phone.
Okay.
And you can't send anything out. You can only reply on this thing. And there's just two buttons on the back, which is record and play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of thinking about giving one of these to my dad because it'll just start talking to him and say, Dad, I hope you're having a great day. And so, and all he has to do if he wants to reply, then it says, hits the end of the arrow button to reply. And that's it.
Just remember, it depends on the level where he is.
Okay.
Because there would be a baby that wouldn't know how to do that. There could be a smarter toddler that would figure it out. And then there would be the preschooler that would have it slam dunk.
Yeah.
So it depends on his cognitive level if it would be disconcerting or confusing if he heard his daughter's voice, but he didn't know how to find you. You see what I'm saying?
I totally understand you with the baby thing. Yeah.
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 But on the other hand, if that's not it,
yeah.
It'd be great.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bring this with me and I'm going to show it to the folks at the memory care facility because I think it could be a good tool for other people.
I agree.
Anybody wants to check this out, it's toymail.co, I think. And Mitzi Beach, MitziBeach.com. Follow her on Twitter at Mitzi_Beach because we do. And she is regarded as the interior designer for baby boomers. So if you have any questions, head on over to her website. And we got to go. So we'll be back in just a minute. Hey guys, it's the end of the show. I'm so glad that you joined us today. I hope that you learned some things. And if there's something that we didn't share that you know about, please tweet us. Send us a message, info@myfixituplife. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those different places. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Watch more videos. And join us next week for more My Fix It Up Life.